But it said in the prophecy, and it's been said all around the United States and around the world, that we have entered into a different season. I can feel it in the air. I can feel it in the congregation. I can feel it in the messianic movement. Just came from, in December, from meeting with all of the rabbis and the IMCS from around the world. And I can tell you there's something changing. I can't put my finger on it. I can't say I know exactly what it is, but I know things are changing. I know things are moving. I know things are awakening. It's almost like that little tree of Maryland's that was dead. And because she spoke to it, started to live again, is that that's happening to the body. It's happening to us. It's happening to us, happening to this congregation. We're not exempt. We gladly join into the fact that the Lord is speaking and wanting things done. In this season, the parashat for today is bow. Bow means go, also means come. But in this case, bow. It says bow to go to Pharaoh. What is it that Moses is going to do when he goes to Pharaoh? Is he going to bribe him? Is he going to give him a gift? Is he going to bow before him? Is any of those things? The answer is no. What he's going to go to do before Pharaoh is to open his mouth and declare the word of the Lord. When you open your mouth, as the body of Messiah, we've been talking about that we are the mouth. The body of Messiah, in particular, the messianic movement, is the head. The head, what is the head going to do? Just think? No, the head contains the mouth. The mouth is going to declare the word of the Lord. And in declaring the word of the Lord as the body of Messiah, it will have the same power that it did in Genesis. It can create the world, recreate the world if necessary. When we speak as the body of Messiah, we're not speaking as individuals. We're speaking as ambassadors. We're speaking as, the scripture says, that we are the voice that comes in the wilderness, the voice that declares the way of the Lord. Yes, Johannes the Baptist was that voice. But so are we. In the wilderness, we are to declare the word of the Lord. I want you to get that in your spirit. In this season, what the mantle that's coming, how is it going to be manifest? Let's say we do get it. Let's say you get it. What you going to do with it? Go hide? What you going to do with it? Go back to the woods and talk to the deer at night? Speak to the owls? Or are we going to be able to obey and do the bidding that the Messiah wants to do? And he's using us to do it. He's using us to do it. In Exodus 10, 1 and 2, it says, then Adonai said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, because I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, so that I might show these my signs in their midst. And so you must tell. And so you may tell also your son and your grandchildren what I have done in Egypt. What is he talking about? You know, the voice that goes to the enemy also is the voice from the Lord with the anointing that's going to go to our own family, to our children and grandchildren, it says. That the Lord has done great things, and he's going to do great things. Yes, it looks pretty dark out there. Yes, it looks, all that stuff, I know about it, come on. You can read the newspaper, you can see it all. You can hear the alternative news. You can hear all the stuff that's coming out about COVID again. And all the truth that's coming out that nobody's listening to. and get discouraged. I want you to know something. There is something in the air. And things are changing before our eyes. Elizabeth just reported on changes. I'm here to tell you there are changes coming. I want to speak to what does that mean. That means that we're going to be able to use our voice. We're going to be able to declare with our mouth the things of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And when we do that, it'll be like decreeing. Because the word of a king is a decree. It's not our words. The words of the kings are decrees. And it says at the end of this verse that as well as my signs that I did among them, so you may know that I am Adonai. The power of your voice. The power of your voice. The power of your voice has been there all along. We haven't used it. Instead, we loaned it to the enemy. And we allowed, James said that we allowed bitter water as well as good water to come out. The same mouth praises the Lord, the same mouth curses somebody else. And James said this ought not to be so. I look back in my own messages now, 4 weeks and 5 weeks ago. So we're making a change because we're accepting the mantle. We're accepting the responsibility to be God's mouth, to be the mouth of Yeshua. Adonai, Yud Hey Vav Hey, Yah Yehovah, wants to use us because he has Yeshua by his side. Are we going to get that? I was gone from the University of Florida from 1982 until 1985. When I left in 1982, I just received my PhD. I had been working in the Mind-Machine Interaction Research Center. Where I did my work for my PhD had to do with the EEG. The electroencephalogram. And we put that on people and use it to see if there were signals that we could capture from the EEG, which is electrical, that correlate to things that people are doing, thinking, people are good thoughts, bad thoughts, etc., etc. My work was a computer setup. I ran complete computer systems to do that and wrote the software. When I returned to UF from Auburn in 1985, at that time, my work with the Mind-Machine Interaction Research Center, MMIRC, was the analysis and synthesis of human speech in order to generate and understand speech via computers. That's what I immediately got assigned to do, the MMIRC in 1985. By the way, we succeeded. That research succeeded. Because today, the algorithms and models that we generated over decades at the MMIRC formed the basis of the voice activation technology that is used in Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant. The convenience of voice activation and speech recognition cannot be understated. There's a myriad of voice-activated devices, including doors. They're routinely available. You can get them on Lowe's and places like that. In other words, you can install a door that you can walk up to and just say, George, let me in. So you can program. It doesn't have to be Siri. It doesn't have to be Alexa. It doesn't have to be Google. You can program your own keyword. So, pretend that I'm blue blood and I have in my house. And Marilyn always calls that person George. So I can walk to my door in honor of Marilyn and say, George. let me in. And expect George, the device, to understand what I said and then translate that into a command. Translate, let me in to open the door. Unlock and open the door. And your keyless door opens. We can say anymore, we don't have to say, hey Siri. We can now just say, Siri, timer 90 minutes. Did you hear it? Siri, 90 minutes.
90 minutes counting down.
It says 90 minutes counting down. I'm not going to take 90 minutes, okay? Don't, just relax. The iPhone is listening, isn't it? All the time. It's listening to everything that's being said. But not everything that's being said triggers anything until I say, Siri. And then it starts listening intently. Cancel timer. So he wants to do something else. The phone, whether it's Google or it's iPhone or whatever, is looking for a keyword. The keyword in Apple is Siri. The keyword in Amazon is Alexa. The keyword in Google or the Android is Google. And once you say that, it understands, oh, my word just happened. That means it has to be listening all the time. Now, it could be listening all the time and recording. It's eavesdropping all the time. And sometimes it thinks I talk to it. Sometimes it takes Marilyn's voice as my voice. I'm driving, and she's saying something. I guess we're getting 45 years almost of marriage that she can sound like me. And she says something and the phone answers. And when it's connected to the car comes in answering it. And then she immediately says, shut up, Siri. I wasn't talking to you. And something like that. In other words, the keyword activates so that the speech can be understood, processed to generate a command. This is what I was working on in the 80s. But it's true. That's also true in the kingdom of Yeshua. We need to understand the power behind our voice to activate things in the spirit world. Hear what I'm saying. We've entered into a situation where our voice needs to be shed so that we can activate, like my voice activates the phone. Our voice can activate things in the spirit. Many things in our lives have been stalemated, haven't they? Stagnated, haven't they? Resisted, haven't they? All these things await activation. Could it be that in this season, the one that the prophecy is talking about, the season that is entering now, Yah Yehovah is saying to us, Bo. Bo, to do what? To open your mouth. Bo, open your mouth. And start making decrees. Open your mouth and start moving in the authority that Yeshua has given you. And spring things into action. We must do things the way he did. Hello? We must do things the way he did. Hello? If we are his body, we're going to do things he did. And we're going to do it the way he did. So how did he do it? The scripture is loaded. I just have a few examples. So for example, when Yeshua moved into the crowds, which a lot of times were not people he knew, and were even in foreign countries, so to speak, they were across the boundaries of Israel, the Gennesaries and all those people. He didn't go, please, thank you, ay bendito. Hear me. Did he do that? What voice did he use? The one with authority. That voice is called a decreeing voice. Because a person in authority, when they speak, it's a decree. Let me tell you what it said in the book of Esther. The decrees that are made by are irrevocable. The decrees, the things that are done with my signet ring are irrevocable. Not even I can revoke them. Did he say that or not in the book of Esther? So here's some of the things he said. Woman, you are set free from your disability. He didn't make a prayer. He didn't say, Father, if you want to. He decreed, woman, be free from your disability. Luke 13:12. Here's another one in Matthew 12. He said to the man that was lame, kind of. He said, stretch your hand. Does that sound like a, if you think so, if you want to? Or even the English captures that he's not saying just a declarative statement, but he's making a command. Stretch your hand. What happened? The man stretched his hand, and it was restored as healthy as the other. That's in Matthew 12:13. Here's another example. Yeshua tells him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. What kind of voice was this? It was authoritative, right? It was making a decree. It was saying something that cannot be taken back. It's to be done. Because he had that authority, Yeshua did. Yeshua gave us authority. When it comes to declaring his word, or declaring what he wants to do, or by what the Spirit of God says unto us wants to be done, it's better to do it. So if the Spirit asked Marilyn to speak and changed it because she forgot, because I stopped for her to do it at the right place, and she looked at me like, why are you stopping? Something you want to do? I'm going, okay, got it. I'll just keep going. I said, well, I guess it didn't happen. And then, I got to do it now. If that was from the Lord, she better do it. Husband or no husband, rabbi or not rabbi, worship team or not worship team, better do it. Have you ever wondered why Yeshua spoke, always spoke, before a miracle took place? Let me illustrate. He could just walk by, touch the person, say nothing. The person go, I'm free. Is it that He said that, why did he have to speak? I have always thought, this is me, okay, in my understanding of things, that the reason he spoke was to announce a priori, or announce in advance of doing it, so that he would prove that his words were true when they would come to pass. That sounds like a Shema thing. Hear it, say it, hear it, and then it's done to prove that it was heard, right? It sounds really good. Nothing wrong with that. However, could it be that in the kingdom of heaven that is at hand, isn't it? Yeshua said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here, right now. That the speaking of the word, which the word of the king is a decree. So when we say speak a decree, we're talking about making the decrees of the king. Or the decrees of his Holy Spirit, which may not be written. Hello? Still the decrees of the king, deity. That could it be that in the kingdom of heaven, speaking the word, making a decree, must precede the action? This is a novel idea here, especially for those of us that study the word a lot. You don't always see it. I've read this over and over and over and over and over. Always thought, oh yeah, he's going to tell him what he's going to do. Then he's going to do it. And they're going to go, okay, he is. That's who he is. Well, it didn't really work, right? That really didn't happen. In terms of that the people heard what he said, saw what he did, and changed their mind. In the scripture we read today, he spoke from Isaiah, okay, chapter 61, and then sat down, and the whole place is looking at him. This is in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. And then he goes on to say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What scripture? Isaiah 60 or 61, whichever one it is, one of those two, for sure. So, he said it, and the crowd got it, right? Keep reading. They didn't get it. They decided that, who's this dude? And somebody said, oh, that's not a dude. That's Yeshua. You know, that little runt that used to run around here and he seemed to like figs. Now you say that, well, it's in the Bible. He got the figs and all. That's the one. I mean, he wasn't any taller than this. Always with, okay, let's be Italian here. Always with long hair. Woo. Okay, you know, he was one of the monkeys. Really? So what happened? They took him out. They led him to a high place. If you've been in Nazareth, you know what I'm talking about. Because Nazareth is in the mountains, surrounded by mountains. There's a church that they take you if you're going to go to Nazareth. And you can stay in there and see from the patio and all those things. I didn't want to stay in the church. Instead, I went out in the grounds. Because I asked myself a question, which one of you pieces of dirt had the pleasure of having him step on you? Which one of you rocks had the pleasure? He played around here. He's likely to have done something here. Oh my goodness, I feel close to him. in the dirt around Nazareth. We didn't go in. Why did he say it then? Don't you know he knows? Come on. Don't you know he knows? So why is it that he must say it? Answer. I believe. Answer given to me. Answer. You must decree it first so that it activates, its voice activated. You see, that's not new. It's been around forever. Voice activated since Genesis. The voice of Yeshua activated the sea, activated all kinds of things. Isn't it? Isn't the everything that God's done voice activated? Yes! So what are we in a season right now? We're in a season right now that we have to be his voice and expect that his voice is going to do something. But we got to do it like he did it. We have to decree. Listen, we have to decree. Can you say that with me? We have to decree. And other times, show some more examples. He said things like with Lazarus. Verse 41 of John 11. So they rolled away the stone. Yeshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Okay. What does that mean? That means he prayed already. He also knows that his prayer was heard. So he's acting on the assurity that it's going to happen. Then verse 42, just for our own. I knew that you always hear me. But because of this crowd standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. What did he say? Come on, you Bible scholars. Who was he talking to? Lazarus had two sisters. Okay. Now you got it? So who's the one that said, Yeshua said, well, you know, in the kingdom and all that. You know, one of them said, yeah, I know. When you come back with your kingdom, it's going to happen. Kind of. I'm paraphrasing. Hey, kind of like, didn't answer her. He goes on, I guess you're going to be part of the crowd. I tried to tell you ahead of time. You don't get it. You don't act on it. You don't believe it yet. You believe in me, but you don't think that I can bring the dead back. So he didn't rebuke her or anything. He just went on. I said, so that they may believe that you sent me. So Yeshua says, so that they understand that I've already prayed and we are in agreement and I'm doing your will. And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice. Is he praying? I interpret that as, you know, okay, so this is the prayer. He already prayed. Read it. He's not praying. He's not messing around. He's not praying. He's already prayed. And he knows the prayer was heard. He knows what the Lord wants to do. So what is he crying about? What is this cry out with a loud voice all about? It's a decree. Because typically when the sovereign wants to say something, he doesn't want to come across as wimp. El wimpo with the crown. Oh, no, I'm not the wimpo with the crown. I'm the strong person with the crown. And so when the king himself makes a decree, he doesn't whisper it. Okay, now we can put a bossy, boss system on him and put a microphone like me, and you know, he can speak in a normal voice and everybody hear it. But in those days, they didn't have that. And he wanted everybody to hear it. Why? Because he wants everybody to hear his decree. He is decreeing, my friend. Get it? Do you get it? I get it. He cried with a loud voice, please, Lazarus, it's the will of Adonai that you get up. I know it. I talked to him. He said it was. That what happened. That's us. That sometimes be us. It's clear. Now you got to deliver. Oh, man. It's clear. Now you got to deliver. It's clear. Now you have to deliver. It reminds me when I had to deliver. When the Lord's all over me. We're praying for Jeff Seif because he came and he was sick as a dog. He said he'd never been that sick in his life ever before and since. And he's laid up in the bed and we're over here waiting for him to come. And we're praying for him. And we're praying and praying and he's going to be healed. Okay, I got a download. He's going to be healed. He's not here. He's over there laid up. You all are here. So Bruce, can you go to my house? Yeah. Go to my house. The key to get in is on the side door, and told him where the key was. Get in and check on Rabbi. Peradventure, he feels strong enough to come with you. I send Bruce. This is private to Bruce. But the time had come. Am I going to say something? What if it doesn't pass? You got to be prepared. Just take a sideline here. You got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared to say what God said. And if you know that's what God wants to do with what he said, say it. What if that wasn't it? Oh, well. I'd rather have that than not say it. And it was his will. And then I looked to myself like a fool. And I start regretting that I didn't obey the voice of the Lord. I'd rather take the chance on Adonai and look the fool and play the fool than to miss his voice. And if you go listen to that thing, because it was being recorded, I said, I'm compromising God right now. That's a Spanish translation. I am putting God on a bind because I'm declaring that's what he wants to do. So it's going to be one of two things. That is what he wanted to do, or that isn't what he wanted to do, and I just spoke out of turn. I didn't think about it twice. Declared it. We went on with the service. When it got to be the singing part, we're still doing with the service. No thing from Bruce. We finish the singing part, and there walks Bruce in the door, and he didn't say a word. He just ushered him in. Rabbi, we knew you were going to be healed. That's what I said. We knew, and we prayed, and we knew you were coming. The pulpit is yours. Take your time. So his 30-minute message became almost 2 hours. He took his time. He knew there was a miracle. And you knew I was a miracle. And you know that it was a miracle. Lazarus, come out. No if, no ands, no buts. Lazarus, come out. He didn't even say resurrect. He says, come out of the grave. Grave is implied. Lazarus, come out of the hole. What happened? Just in case, what happened? And I'm sure his clothes were stinky, just like Martha said. Or Mary, whichever one. You help me. One of the two said, well, he's stinky. Don't go in there. I mean, she's caring for the Lord. Lord, you're just going to get yourself all stunked up and everything. Don't go in there. Well, did he resurrect it into brand new, spanking new men's warehouse outfit? Or did he resurrect to bad clothes? So what the next thing Yeshua said? Anybody remember? Loosen him from that stuff. Because he's alive. And I'm sure at that point he goes like, I need a bath. Been needing a bath for 3 days now. So why did he cry out? In other words, why did he passionately use his voice? He said, maybe this miracle was a big one. Is that it? Maybe Yeshua said, this is a big miracle. I better use my big voice. No? Isn't that what we do? You know, evangelists use a big voice when it's big and, you know, all right, so that it could penetrate the grave. Look, he had just said to his father, Yah Yehovah already. He already said, my father always hears me. Maybe he had to say to Lazarus, or everybody would have to have come out of the grave. Let me say that again. Maybe he had to say Lazarus, or if he starts saying, come out, then everybody else that's listening goes, oh, it's me. And they get out too. And now the resurrection happens ahead of time. So he said Lazarus so that all the others go, oh, it's not my turn. Because there were some that are going to get up like Lazarus, right? At the resurrection of Messiah, right? Right? Come on, right? This is not that long before that time. You see, there was power behind his voice, but I don't think it needed to be loud. There was power with his voice if he just spoke. So why did he cry out? You see, I believe we have to understand that there's a power behind our voice and the season we're in. We're in a season of doors. Voice activated doors. Since the natural reveals the spiritual, if you don't know what that is, that's Romans 1:20. That says, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world, being understood by the things that have been made, Romans 1:20, i.e., the natural reveals the spiritual. Do you understand that what Yeshua is doing, he's actually playing the role of a king? He's not just saying, he's decreeing. And by decreeing, there has to be extra oomph, an extra yes. Not because he's doubting, but because he's going to be, yes! Like it was when I saw Sife walk through that door. I never forget. Do you remember Paul and Silas in prison? Were they deep in the prison? It's in the scripture. Yes, they were. When did the miracle start? Yes. When they were singing. The miracle started when they began to open their mouth. Get it? When they began to open their mouth and pray and sing, both pray and sing, then things start happening. What happened? That praise and worship and prayers began to voice activate the angel armies. Voice activation again. Their voice activates the angel armies. And they go, which one gets to go to this one? Because they all want to go. Whichever one's got to go, the angels came and broke the locks. Isn't that awesome? They broke the chains and they opened the doors of the prison. And Paul and Silas walked out. Here's the deal. Some of you have been in prisons of your own making. You made those prisons with your own mouth, with your own words. And the Ruach is saying to you and me today that instead of complaining and instead of rehearsing all the things the devil has done wrong to you, in other words, instead of singing the "Oh, poor me" syndrome song, what you need to do is start opening your mouth as the body of Messiah and start activating a different atmosphere and dynamic power in your life that begins to cause change, begins to break the status quo, and begins to let the doors be open for you. Because Marilyn read it, as we were singing, "You are Messiah, the world's true love." True Lord, actually. I like to say love, too. That he came to set the captives free. And that scripture was fulfilled in their ears. So was it to you today. By the way, this is the right season. This is the right hour. We're in a right now situation. Not mañana, not another month, not another year. We're in a right now situation that we can begin to see things open that we've been praying for a long time. How many of us have things that Yah Yehovah has spoken over us that you haven't seen fulfilled yet? Are there any promises, anything that the Lord shared with you that hasn't happened yet? How many of you have prophetic promises that you know Yah Yehovah has spoken, but you haven't seen them come to pass yet? What are we doing with those prophetic words?
Oh, he spoke that to me in Ocala in 1980 in a service. What did you do? Well, I wrote it down and I stuck it in my Bible.
Oh, maybe you're very organized and you have a little notebook. And you made entries in your little notebook and put the little paper there that said, "On this day, the Lord spoke this over me." And then you discover the little notebook once a year. And you dust it up and you open it up and you start reading. And you go, "That was being declared over me." That notebook of Maryland, there's not a Tony anywhere. Or Ame or Ian or nobody. It's just her, for her. Haven't you heard that Adonai said, "You shall decree a thing and it will be established for you"? That's Job 22:28 in the King James Version. But you know what? The scripture that precedes that, the context. I love to write the context. The scripture that precedes, "You shall decree a thing and it will be established for you," that's Job 22:28. Job 22:27 in the TLB. "You will pray to him and he will hear you." Isn't that the pattern of Yeshua? "I prayed and he'll hear me. And you will fulfill your vows." What you promised, what you said you're going to do, what you said you would do, if that came over you. When you got that word, it wasn't like, "Oh, I got it, I got it, and I got it." You started thinking about, "Wow, Lord, you said that I'm going to do this." And you go like, "Let me start thinking about what that is." And you start thinking about it. And you get enamored with that and think about it and pray about it. And it hasn't happened. So what happened? It went in the notebook. Might as well go in the graveyard. He went in the notebook and he gets resurrected. Or you start reading the Bible and peradventure, you stuck it in First Chronicles, which is not your normal reading. And you know, all of a sudden you kind of open the Bible and this paper comes out. And you look at the Bible, it says First Chronicles. I'm not going to go look in there. There's probably nothing there for me. And here the little paper comes out, and you pick up the paper and you read the prophecy that God gave to you, the words that God gave you. What are we going to decree? A thing. What are we going to decree? What are the words that we're going to decree? We're going to decree the promises. We're going to decree the prophecy. And the word. The word, the promise, and the prophecy. Look, don't just listen to your words. Instead of just reading these words that Adonai gave you, you need to activate your spirit man and open your mouth and start decreeing, which means saying, what is it that he said? Either that or throw it away. Either he said it and you put it in your Bible because he said it, or throw it away. Quit playing games. You need to start decreeing that word that Yah Jehovah spoke in general and in specifically to you. For some of you, maybe that's a scripture, and all of a sudden that scripture becomes pretty important. Huh? Call that a rhema.
What is it for me? Just for me.
Just for me. Not for you, Carly. I ain't sharing with you. It's mine. It's not for you, Marilyn. He gives you enough. I only got a couple. These are mine. I'm messing with you, okay? Is that right? Honestly, many of us have personal words from him. And how long have you been waiting for some of those words to come to pass? Could it be? Well, let me answer the question. A long time. Could it be that the only difference between it activating and it staying in my pocket, my Bible, or in the notebook, is for me to start declaring it? Adonai, you said, Tony Arroyo, and start declaring what it is. Don't be ashamed. You say, anytime that my flesh starts to go, oh, you're special, I immediately say, no, you're not. You are bought with a price. You are the son of Abraham, an heir according to what Yeshua did. You've been grafted in. Because I'm an heir, because I'm grafted in, because I have the adoption of sons, I can go before the throne of heaven and say, Lord, you spoke this about your son. I'm one of them. Not because I earned it, but because Yeshua gave it to me. Therefore, I am saying, give me that which is for your sons, because I'm one of them in the name by the blood of Yeshua. What does that tell you? That you have these words in prophecies that have been shared with you, that the Lord shared with you, the Holy Spirit shared in Scripture. What does that mean? It means he's not going to do it, right? So you keep him as a historical record. Or is it that you actually do believe that he's going to do it, right? You do believe that that's going to come to pass. So we're waiting for him to do it all. You need to speak and you need to do it. Why do we rehearse during the high holy days? Because prior to, we were thinking, oh, when he comes, he's going to make everything right. And when he comes, he's going to set it all up. And when he comes, he's going to, you know. And we're understanding that we've got to rehearse so that we know what he wants. And we can do what he wants. And we're prepared to do what he wants. We don't have to be taught, we can join him and teach other people. You see, perhaps Yahyova is looking for you and I to partner with him. We see in the Spirit that there are some things that are happening already. I don't know if you have, but I can tell you Elisma thinks something's happening already. I can tell you Marilyn thinks something's happening already. I can tell you that I've already said here something's happening already. Therefore, decree and thereby command, decree and thereby command everything to come into alignment, and you're going to begin to see things that have been just loosely hanging out suddenly begin to focus and come into fruition at this season. The season of the voice activation. Who was that word for? It was for me. Aren't many of us working on things right now that we know need to be manifest? So we're going, Lord, it's me again, Lord. Sing the song, right? I'm pestering you like the woman pestering the judge. So we got that as an example. The Bible doesn't say the judge was happy. The Bible doesn't call the woman a saint. It doesn't call her to be exalted forever. It just says she had persistence. Okay? We have persistence. But we use the wrong terminology. We use the wrong idea. The persistence is to go in and say what he said. Without doubt. You said this about me. Hallelujah. May this come to happen right now. And decree the word of God over yourself. And watch things start to happen. You see, we can no longer sit back and passively wait. We've got to actively and aggressively speak, decreeing the things that Yah has said. Because this is the season of voice activation. There are going to be doors that need to get open. And Adonai is like giddy to open those doors if there was only one person decreeing it. Only takes one. These are doors to gates. Even ancient gates that are ready to open. Open up, you ancient doors. Swing wide, you ancient gates. And let the King of Glory come in and take his place. Last example. Peter and John went to pray. Acts 3. They met a lame man on the way. He stuck out his palm and he asked for an alms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Yeshua, Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The chorus. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Yeshua, Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know where this happened? At the Gate Beautiful. What does that mean? Well, you know, compare beautiful to dung. You kind of get an idea there. But does that mean this was a pretty gate and the others were ugly? Have you thought about it? We don't think about it. So I went and looked at the Greek word for beautiful. You know what it means? It doesn't mean pretty. Like we do, like we train. It doesn't mean pretty. Get it? You ready? It says the right time, the right moment, or the right hour. This is the gate of the right time, or the right moment, or the right hour. And Peter and John, especially Peter, activated something in a man that had been sitting there by the gate for decades. This is not new for him. He'd been coming around for decades. And all he could do was sit at the gate and ask for alms. The lame man came to this gate. There was nothing special about today. He did that every day. And maybe he didn't have any expectation other than maybe somebody give me a shekel instead of pennies. That was his custom. So when Peter and John came, he said, the normal, a little something for the poor. Whatever words he could use to try to get compassion out of those two, right? But what happened? Get up and walk, is all that was said. In the name of Yeshua, Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The King James, the NIV, all of them say the same thing. Rise up and walk. Okay? What happened? The right bone connected to the left bone. The left connected to the ulna bone. Immediately, the bones began to go, hear the word of the Lord. And began to get together. And he didn't just wait to see, is this really happening? The Bible says he leapt to his feet. He fell a little tap and a little twinge and said, this is it. Stood up and he stood up. And went walking and leaping and praising God. He didn't just take baby steps. He was in a pogo stick. You were talking about a pogo stick or something? I don't know. I didn't hear very well. Supernatural healing happened at the right time. At the right hour. At the right moment. At the gate, beautiful. The gate of right now, right hour, right moment. And the lame man experienced a miracle. This suddenly changed his life forever. In closing, I want to say to you, the Ruach HaKodesh is saying, right now, right moment, right hour. We are standing by the gate, beautiful. Huh? And a season is about to happen. We can call that season all you want to. We can say it's the season of the revival. We can say whatever you want to say, but here's what I want to say. And I agree with the person that said this before me. This is called the suddenly season. Suddenly. Right now. Not waiting. Right now. Suddenly. It's upon us. In that day. Oh, maybe that's today. Maybe that's right now. You're just like the lame men. All of you sitting here, you're doing what you normally do. You got things you want to do, but you're not expecting nothing. You want to leave exactly like you came. So let me say this again. The right now season, the suddenly right now season means that today, in our day, today, meaning right now, things could happen for us. In this 2024 season, it's not time to lay back on your gator seat backs. And wait for Adonai to do it. Oh, do it. Could it be today? We think that's preposterous. Instead, say with me, we are going to aggressively begin to open our mouth and decree the decrees of the King. Yes and amen. Shabbat shalom.